Welcome to the Kids with Big Emotions podcast. I am your host, Andy Clark. This is episode 112, where we're going to dive into why procrastination isn't just laziness. Now, if you've ever watched your child stare at their homework for hours or avoid even starting their morning routine, you're not alone. It's not that they don't care, and it's not about being lazy. It's actually much deeper. This is one of my kids, honestly. I could go back to his room an hour and there's nothing written on the paper and all he had to do was write a paragraph. So I used to be so baffled by this. And today I want to unpack what's really going on beneath procrastination. Because what looks like avoidance or defiance is often a cascade of this overwhelming executive functioning system. Executive functioning, I'll dive into a little more on this, but the quick and dirty on it is the manager of your brain. It's the brain that tells you how to start things, how to continue things, how much effort you should be putting into something, what it helps you to be able to follow steps, to be able to listen to steps, to be able to remember the steps. All of these things are part of your executive functioning system. And when it is overwhelmed, or when there's certain pieces of it and struggling, that's when we can start seeing procrastination. And once you start seeing all of these layers that are involved, you'll have this better understanding of your child's brain and why this one size fits all solution that people are saying that, oh, you just get your kid to do this, or you need to sit and do, no, they just need to start their homework. They just need to write down the first word. They just need a planner. Or they need to be organized or whatever it is, right? It doesn't work the same for every child, and I'll actually explain why some of those things are maybe failing for your child today. And we're going to hopefully switch from that frustration you've been having to clarity and being like, oh, I'm understanding this more. And you may hear things today that might you think, why didn't anybody tell me this sooner? And that's okay. We're not here to blame anybody. I know I've gone through this many times. We're here to start fresh with compassion. And you only know what you don't know. So today is going to be hopefully very eye-opening for you. This episode is really going to give you a new lens to see your child's procrastination and some hopeful steps that you can take to support them in moving forward. So what does procrastination look like? When we see procrastination, we see refusal to start or do something, procrastinating, asking them to do a chore around the house, getting them to start their homework. There's that refusal. There's an avoidance. They might go and do anything else, but I mean, shoot, I used to do this. I still do this. We catch ourselves as adults, right? Doing all the things that is not on our to-do list of the stuff that we have to do right now. Our focus might be elsewhere, procrastinating on something. We might see meltdowns in a child, starting their homework, asking them to do anything around the house, might get into meltdowns or panic at the last minute. They start freaking out. And when this happens, we have a lot of these common interpretations that we have been taught growing up that, oh, they're just being lazy. They don't try. They're so smart. Why can't they just do it? And I know I used to think my one son was being lazy at school because he could read at such a great high level. He could write individual words at like college level in grade 3, but he would never write a full paragraph, maybe a sentence, a small sentence, never big words. And the teachers and myself thought they were being lazy. And for a while, I was like, once I found out what was going on, why did these teachers not tell me? And I've realized that teachers do not understand the executive functioning system. They don't understand executive functioning skills to the depth that I've learned them now in coaching. So as I've become an executive functioning coach, I have learned that who I've studied under has taught this at such a deep, granular way to really understand every single skill that quite often when I find another executive functioning coach or I'm finding a course for executive function, I'm like, oh, maybe I could take that and I'll go into it. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're teaching only high level skills. They're not teaching this to the depth and they're missing the foundational pieces. So it's very fascinating, even in the executive functioning world, how many do not actually dive deep enough to the foundational pieces of the executive functioning system, and they all stay such high level. So let's go into some of these executive functioning skills that can cause procrastination struggles. So the first one is initiation, which is so simple when I'm going to say it. It's them not being able to figure out how to start. And you're like, okay, well, I already knew that. Well, that's an executive functioning skill. We quite often are like, well, why don't they know where to start? It says number one, step one on their paper. Why don't they know to do step one and go through the steps? There's a lot involved in initiation. So in that executive functioning skill, there's reasons why they can't figure out how to start. And that's pieces of their brain that aren't connecting all of those puzzle pieces together. And we have to figure out which of those puzzle pieces for initiation are affecting that child, because it's not going to be the same, which is why the solution is never the same either. We get into planning. They may not know what steps come first. So yes, there might be step one, two, three, but even for step one, it might not be broken down into enough steps, right? It might say step one, write a paragraph on the story, on the chapter. The thing is that's broken down into so many pieces. First, they have to read the chapter. Then they have to know what the chapter is. Then they have to read the chapter. They have to remember everything from the chapter. Then they have to figure out what parts of the paragraph am I even supposed to write down? And you might get a child too that overanalyzes everything, which is another executive functioning skill. And they'd be like, well, do they want the emotional pieces? Do they want to know about it from this person's view or that person's view? And they might get themselves into such a rabbit hole of what exactly do they want in this first step that they may not be able to start, right? So they may not be able to do the planning because the analyzing is a struggle, or they may not be able to do the planning because there's actually so many skills under planning that they need to have from an executive functioning skill perspective. And if they're missing foundational pieces in those skills under planning, then they're not going to be able to follow a plan. Their working memory might struggle. So they may lose track of directions all the way. They may also, if you're asking them to read something, their working memory might struggle to the degree that they don't remember what they just wrote, or they can't remember all of it, or it's too much. They might remember a sentence. They might remember a paragraph. They might remember a page, but they may not remember more than that. So if they can do a paragraph, they might not be able to do a page, remember all of the information. They also may not be able to get the mental images into their brain, which helps them remember things longer term. Depending on where the struggle is in their working memory, they may lose track of the directions. Even you saying, go pack your backpack, that they do every single day. Being able to do that, if their working memory is off and they don't visually remember what was in their backpack day to day, they can't remember the list of things that they need. They can't remember what they do every single day in school because that part of their working memory is struggling, then they can't pack that backpack. And you giving them a plan and a checklist might help certain children depending on where their executive functionings are struggling, but it's not teaching them the skills to strengthen those pieces that need the support in their executive functioning system. Hope that made sense. Then we get into time management. This is one of my kids. One of my kids feels, if they feel, oh my God, this is going to take me forever. This is going to be huge. This is going to be crazy big. I can't get into it. And it might be something that only takes them 5 minutes, but they actually think it's going to take them forever. That might stop them from doing something. It stops them from initiating. Emotional regulation. They may panic or shut down takes over because they're thinking of so many variables in this, because maybe there's been given 5 steps and that's freaking them out. And they don't know how they're going to get all these 5 steps done. Even if it's things like packing their backpack again, or making their lunch, or getting themselves ready in the morning, might get them into such a panic because of different parts of their executive functioning system that are struggling. And then they start worrying, oh my God, it's going to take so much time. I'm not going to be able to get it done. So you might say too, get this done so that we can go and throw some baseballs, or so that we can go to like the park you want to go to, or we can go to this event you want to go to. And they might freak out going, I'm never going to get that done in time. And that might be the emotional regulation. They might shut down and not even start it because they're like, well, why bother? Because then I'm not going to be able to go to the event because I'm not going to get this done in time. Self-monitoring. They may not even realize they've stalled. They may not be able to notice when they're making mistakes or when they're not doing something they're supposed to be doing that they can't correct themselves. So that gets into self-correcting. They may be able to know that they're off track, but they may not be able to know the steps to correct themselves. Flexibility. They may not be able to shift if the original plan feels hard, or if the original plan shifts. So let's even say that their backpack, they're used to packing their backpack for a regular day, but then today they have gym class and they have to add in gym shoes. That might be enough that their ability to even flexible think can't adjust for the different days and different requirements, the different subjects that they have. They may not have that flexibility in their brain for that. these are just examples, right? So with my son, one of my kids, when we started homeschooling, I realized he wasn't doing some of his stuff. And I was like, what is going on? And I had to stop and sit and observe him for a while and ask him a whole bunch of questions. When does my child procrastinate the most? What executive functioning skills might be missing at this moment? And these are all things I teach, all these executive functioning skills and stuff in my support circle. So you can actually go through every single executive functioning skill and learn about it and go, okay, this is where my child struggles. I also have a self-assessment form that you can start seeing some of these struggles that I put the most common struggles are on this one form that I'll be giving you. And if you check that off, you'll see if your child has any of those struggles and you'll start to see, oh, this could be what's behind them not starting things, behind the meltdowns of their homework, behind all of these things that are going on. So procrastination, we get into this cycle of shame and shutdown. The child delays, they get overwhelmed, they melt down or they give up. As a parent, we get frustrated. Then the child feels worse. And then the next time that cycle just gets even worse. The child delays more. They get more overwhelmed. The meltdowns and the giving up become worse and worse. The parent becomes way more frustrated and the child feels even worse. That shame and shutdown. And this constantly repeats. So procrastination often becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Think about that. When you feel bad about yourself and you get in your head and you're struggling with certain parts of your executive functioning system, and when you are struggling and when you are having a tougher day and when your energy is down and when you are more stressed, your executive functioning system struggles even more. This procrastination wheel, this whole shame cycle, just keeps being enforced more and more and more until you can stop that cycle and really support the child. And that's what we're talking about, this myth of there's one fix. Oh, we need to give them a planner. We need to give them a timer. We need to give them a rewards chart. None of those things really dive into helping and supporting where their executive functioning system needs support. So a planner is great. A timer is great. A rewards chart is great. After we have found out what executive functioning systems need to be supported in them and how to support them. So some of the mistakes that we do often make is we try to push them harder. We go in, we push, we tell them that they need to get onto this. They need to just put a word on the paper. They need to just do step number one. We just try to push, push, push. Another mistake we make is assuming that they don't care or need more, or that they actually need more motivation. They may want to do this just as bad or more than you want it to happen, but they can't. And they may care so much of just what is causing the meltdowns, which is causing the stress, which is causing the frustration in them. And then the other mistake is that we focus only on the behavior and not the root cause. This is one reason I pulled my one kid out of school, actually, is because they only wanted to help him when he was in the red. They only wanted to help de-escalate him from the red instead of figuring out, why is this child starting to yell and hit? Why is he melting down? Why is he exploding in class? They never got into the why. They only wanted to, let's get him, teach him to calm down, teach him to shut everything down, teach him to push those feelings down. Instead of why is this happening in the first place? And that happens with procrastination. And we don't link that often. We think procrastination is a bad behavior. Procrastination is painful for our kids too. Many kids want to do well. They're really battling an invisible wall that we don't always see. I'm going to say that again. Procrastination is painful for our kids too. Many want to do well. They're just battling an invisible wall that we don't always see. And instead of jumping in with solutions, we need to start observing without judgment. Write down what happens before they're procrastinating, during the procrastination, after the procrastination. And you're going to start to see patterns in their behavior. You'll see beforehand, I spoke in the last two episodes ago about like your stress animals. You might see the shark starting to appear. You might see clenching fists or not getting hungry or being hangry, or you might see them starting to shut down, starting to not talk as much, starting to get really quiet, getting into their head. They might start getting anxiety and worrying too much. You might start seeing really big patterns. This is the hardest part about executive functioning, is that it's not just one skill. It's a whole system. And we often treat procrastination like it's this isolated issue. It just needs a better planner, more discipline, or a stronger like why. The kid needs to understand why they need to do this work. But the kid usually already knows this. Not all of them. That might actually be one of the executive functioning struggles that they don't understand the why. So we really need to dive in, because executive functioning doesn't work this way, that it's the same for everyone. There's no single fix, because no single skill is ever working alone. You need a support that matches where the executive functioning breakdown is happening. But not only that, You need to actually look beneath the breakdown. Okay, so it's happening here. Now, what's going on under it? What are the skills below that? Are any of the skills below that struggling as well? So I think of this like a fire. So this is like fueling the struggle analogy. When we think of executive functioning like building and tending to a fire, the flames are what we see. Kid can't plan. They can't problem solve. They're not completing tasks at work. These are all the things we see. These are the things that as a parent we complain about. They're the flames, the things we see. But the flames don't just happen. They come from the logs, which is the mid-level skill, and kindling, which is the foundation skill. If you don't have proper kindling, you can't start a fire. If you don't have logs that are dry and ready to take on that fire, then you can't have flames. It doesn't matter how many logs you even throw on. If the kindling is damp or missing, the logs aren't also going to light. The fire won't start and your child will sit there stuck, overwhelmed, and often labeled as lazy or resistant. So when a child struggles with planning, we have to ask ourselves these questions. This is really important. So mark the time of where we're at in this episode if you need to come back to this. Do they have the flexibility to shift when their first idea doesn't work? Can they initiate the task without panic? Do they have working memory to hold all the steps in their head? So you may not know what working memory is, but can they hold the steps in their head? Do they ask you, what did you just say? Or do they go to do something and do the first step and then not know what to do after that? That's a sign of working memory. Can they really self-monitor themselves to see if they're on track? Can they monitor and know, I'm on track with this, I'm making good time, or I'm spending so much time on this thing that really isn't worth many marks at all? Do they understand time, or does everything feel like it's going to take forever? Can they wait for rewards? Can they wait and pause? Are they okay if you say, no, you can't have that today, but you can have it tomorrow? Those are all things that are going to help you see where there are disconnects in the executive functioning system. And in the support circle is where, when I'm going through this, you'd be like, oh yeah, that's perception. This is initiation. This is attention. This is working memory. This is time, sense, and pacing. This is self-monitoring. This is self-correcting. You'll know this with the lessons all that I teach in the support circle. So planning is a very high level skill, and it stands on the foundation of so many smaller, often overlooked executive functioning skills. And this is what blows me away, is that there are so many executive functioning coaches out there that are like, oh, just give them a planner, or teachers. They just need a planner. But if the skills that are under it, those log skills, those kindling skills are off, no, that's not going to help them. When we only focus on the flames, those visible behaviors, and not the kindling, the foundational needs, we unintentionally set our kids up for more failure. They feel more like a failure. They feel more like they're disappointing you, or they're a failure in getting towards their goal. And that's why in the support circle, like, I teach all of this, is how to recognize the executive functioning skills and how to support them, how to scaffold them, which is make sure that you're going at a pace that works for the child's growth from the inside out. You don't ever start at the top of a pyramid. You have to start with the base. So it's just like building a house. If the foundation is cracked in the house, if that scaffolding isn't secure in what we're doing, it doesn't matter how beautifully designed the top floors are, the whole structure feels unstable. So the question becomes, are we supporting the whole structure, or are we just trying to patch roofs? Just do that roof patchwork stuff up. Let's just go into a couple of things on if you're giving your child the right support. So if it's initiation, if they're really struggling to get started, there's usually two things that go into initiation, is that they feel it's going to take too long, or they're overwhelmed. The steps aren't broken down big enough. So they may need you to sit beside them and give them some visual prompts. They may need you to sit beside them and talk through breaking down the first step into even 10 steps, and then focusing only the first step of that for them to start getting going. If it's working memory, that's a bigger one, because there's verbal and nonverbal working memory. This is like going down a rabbit hole, trying to figure out where. And that's where I have podcast episodes on this. We'll link in the show notes the Executive Functioning Series podcast, because those are actually lessons from my support circle breaking down a bunch of these skills. You're going in and you're seeing that it's working memory. If it's verbal or nonverbal, the way that you help them is very different. If it's time awareness, then we start working. We have to figure out where are they lost on that, and start helping them with the time awareness, from first starting to be aware of how long things should take, so that they start getting more realistic times blocked off in their homework and in their schedule and in their day of what they expect, and so that they can start doing it in a timely manner. Those are two different things, two different skills. And we may need to work on both of those, but we have to work on them separately. If it's an emotional overload, then we need to help support their stress system first. We need to make sure that there's a connection between you and that child, that you're connecting with the right stress animal. So I highly recommend you go back to two episodes beforehand, and so that their brain is not in panic mode when they're starting, and then helping them with the executive functioning struggles. So you start with one executive functioning area, not all of them. And you need to start with the base foundational, the most kindling skill first. You always use connection before correction. Connect with them, find out where they're struggling. Connect with them on that and talk them through before you start working on the steps to help correct that. Create small wins. This is huge. This is huge. Create really small wins and start the task together. Then you back away slowly as they're able to take on each task themselves. So quite often what we do as parents is we'll teach them all of the skill, not broken up into small enough steps, and we walk away and expect they can do all the steps. Instead of maybe there's 10 steps, we eventually pass on step one and we still help them with 2 to 10. Then eventually they can do step one and two, we help them with 3 to 10. It's a slow process, parents. We're basically like riding a bike. They need to learn every step at a time. We're learning how to like crawl before they walk. We need to make sure that they can crawl really well before they get on their feet and walk, before they even start running. And it's painful because as a society, we're taught that, oh, these kids should already do this. They should already know this stuff. And the truth is that a very large number of adults and kids do not have, well, we all have gaps in our executive functioning. We all, nobody has 100% executive functioning skills, but where the gaps are present in our lives on a time, regular basis, like somebody who's always late, somebody who always forgets things, right? These are all executive functioning skills, and adults do this all the time. People that can't think of, aren't flexible in their thinking. It just needs to always be one way. All of these things are executive functioning. We all do these as parents. And the thing is that we need to support only one skill at a time and make sure that, you know, we're breaking it down into small enough pieces. The stuff isn't common sense. It's not common sense. These need to be taught steps. And as a society, we're led to believe that we should just all know how to do these things. And if we can't, we're a failure. And that needs to shift. We need to celebrate the process, not that end goal, not the product. Celebrate every step of them getting there. So procrastination really isn't defiance, it's a sign. If this episode helped you see your child's procrastination through this new lens, if you start connecting the dots between what you see and that deeper executive functioning struggle underneath, I want to give you like a simple next step. And so that's where I talked about the Kids with Big Emotion self-assessment form. The link is attached here. It's attached in the show notes. It's a quick, insightful tool to help you uncover where your child might be struggling, whether it's initiation, working memory, emotional regulation, and one of the other hidden layers beneath procrastination. I don't want to lead you on with this. I'm not saying it's going to say this is initiation, this is working memory. It's going to give you a list of 33 different struggles that parents feel, and you're going to see that these are all working memory. Now, if you do that, I will absolutely, if you go through that form and email me after and go, can you go through this form and tell me what are all of the executive functioning skills for each of the tick that I ticked off? I'll totally do that for you. I'll do like a video screenshot of your form and tell you this is attention, this is perception, this is initiation, this is working memory. I can totally do that for you. So let me know. I don't want to lead you on that this is going to tell you all of the executive functioning skills. It's going to help with the layer before that, the kindling piece of getting you to see how many skills actually have an executive functioning base. Okay, so that is in the show notes. And if you want to do a deeper dive, I absolutely invite you to join my support circle. It's where I teach all of these executive functioning skills in depth and all the stress, the sleep, the traumas, all of the other things that go along with a nervous system that brings in these big emotions in kids too. I'll answer questions there. I'll help you understand your child more fully so that you can support them with confidence and compassion. And if you're looking for more personal guidance, I do one-on-one coaching sessions as well. You can book a free 30-minute call with me. I think it's 25 minutes. Call so that I have 5-minute buffer in between my next appointments. We can talk about what's going on and see if working together would be a really good fit for you. You really don't have to figure this out alone. Oh my gosh, when I tried doing this, it was so lonely and it was hard. Support is here and you are exactly where you need to be.